Well, thanks for those attending today. I appreciate you making the time. We have Greg Sandrock with us from Indiana, or Illinois, I should say, and Joseph Cortina with our DC, a Big Eye office lobbyist. And then I'll turn this over to Lacey. Lacey Schatz is on our board, Big Eye board, and she's the chair of our crop insurance committee here in North Dakota. And that, Lacey.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to welcome you all to our call. We're always excited we can get Greg and Joseph to talk to us here in North Dakota. It helps bring a national perspective to our state. So thank you guys for being here. With that, we'll get going with Greg.
Okay, thanks, Lacey, Jeff, and everyone for having us today. So I'll speak a little bit to the kind of what my duties are, what my roles are, and then also kind of on behalf of what the Big Eye is doing on behalf of the members and the folks in all the states across this nation, in addition to crop insurance and some other issues and some other key items as well. So I'm an agent in northern part of Illinois, and I've served the last 7 years as the crop insurance. It was a task force, and now we're a subcommittee. We're a committee kind of streaming down from the government affairs group, our team in DC. So I serve not only as chair of that, but I also am the national director for the state of Illinois for the Big Eye Association. I just wanted to start again, kind of as a little bit of a kudos to our lobbyist team, to Joseph and the crew that he works with, and our staff at the Big Eye. Recently, the Big Eye was recognized by the Capitol Hill magazine as being one of the top tier lobbyist groups in DC. And for some that may say and kind of roll the eyes and say, well, I just assume that's what they did, and everybody probably somewhat gets recognized as that. I really would like to point out that I believe this is the Big Eye is the only property and casualty agents association lobbyist group that's recognized in this list. And that's pretty significant when you look at it. And it comes as a result of a lot of things. It comes through the political action contributions, the PAC committees, and the monies that we gather from members around the state. And I know your state has done an extremely good job of collecting some of our political action committee money and sending PAC money in, which commercial announcement, if anybody wants to make a last minute contribution before the end of the year, that we're kind of on a calendar year cycle there. But again, it's money received with that. It's also the work of our team, our lobbyist team. We got a great lobbyist team in DC that covers both sides of the aisle, which is crucial. The other thing that comes as a result is our members and the grassroots effort that I know our members present in time of need and just on a kind of an ongoing basis on all the different topics and subjects that the independent agents have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So it does get on the radar. This list makes the radar of the congressional offices. They pay attention to it. So that does make an impact even before there's an appointment or there's a meeting that's set up with the staffers and whatnot to know how powerful that our group is as a whole. So again, congratulations to the Big Eye as a whole. I thank you to Joseph. Thank you to the team that he works with and whatnot. And it's something that each and every member should be pretty darn proud of. Also want to talk a little bit and kind of go into a little bit more what the government affairs team does. And really, when you think of what our interest is probably today, first and foremost, is crop insurance. And crop insurance is always on the radar for the Big Eye, has been for several years. And I can assure you it will continue to be on the radar for the Big Eye when we work with Capitol Hill. But I think what's interesting to note is the fact that when you look at our government affairs team, when you look at the Big Eye in general, we're out on the Hill on a daily basis. We're meeting with staffers. We're having talks with them during COVID, Zoom talks, conference call talks, phone calls, and so forth, dealing with an array of subjects. And I want to explain why that's important. So when we look at our government affairs team, currently, just a handful of items that I can talk to would be, and again, this is going to affect folks in different areas of the countries for different reasons and at different times, but the National Flood Program. We've been extremely involved in that the last few years, been very involved as they develop Risk Rating 2.0 on that. We're very involved in the budget reconciliation and tax increases, kind of giving our 2 cents per se on behalf of our members and our association, our group, the businesses that we serve, as to how that impacts each and every one of the agents, how that impacts our them as an individual and also their businesses, which again kind of flows down, trickles down to how that affects our farmers, how that affects our clients that we deal with. But again, that's a major issue. Healthcare has been, as you know, an item that we've talked about for the last several years, and we will continue to occupy that space and that conversation with members of Capitol Hill as it pertains to health insurance, individual markets, group markets, and so forth, and how the government kind of intrusion into that at times makes it very, very difficult, not only to access healthcare, but also to be fair to those in every part of this country, be it an urban setting, be it a rural setting and whatnot. But that continues to be ongoing. We're also talking in conversations on employee classifications and the PRO Act. For those of you that don't know what that is, I would probably Google it and look it up, see what that means. But again, that's something that's been in conversation here in Congress, and we continue to kind of be in those conversations in that space as well. One of the other items that's kind of come surfaces occasionally, doesn't make any difference what administration. Again, I'm going to keep this a bipartisan conversation. We need to focus on the fact that occasionally we deal with federal intrusion into state-based regulations. So allowing the states to operate within what the states need to operate with without having federal language or federal intrusion into every state. And that's extremely key and should be very key for each and every state. So that's something that comes up again from time to time. It resurfaces occasionally. And those are some other things that we talk to and talk about as well. So why are those things important to crop insurance? Because I so believe as a member, as an agent, as a dues-paying member of this association, and I donate very heavily to the PAC, I believe in the system. Because as we talk crop insurance, imagine the fact that our lobbyists are into those offices on a regular basis, talking about a host and a variety of different subjects. So they gain the trust, they have the knowledge. We obviously have the knowledge and the background on a lot of these issues. So especially with the newer members of Congress and the newer staff members and so forth, they come to know that the Big Eye is a source that they can go to with any topic and know that they're going to get pretty much an unbiased read of the facts of exactly what that piece of legislation is, or maybe what side they should consider, what side they should be on. So we're not in there just focused specifically on crop insurance. So that builds that trust, that builds that communication component, which becomes extremely crucial when you start talking about as crop insurance is attacked, as we face attacks through budget reconciliation, through different measures where they look at seeing where can we save money, where can we grab some money, out of the crop piece over here. We're right there to explain to them that would be a wrong move, that would be a disaster. And again, we're kind of that trusted source, not only in what we would consider all the ag states, your state being included, but sometimes the states that we consider maybe aren't as heavy in agriculture and don't have representation on the Hill, maybe from somebody who understands agriculture, we kind of become the source or the go-to for those folks as well. So I find that probably one of the, if not the biggest item when I think of the Big Eye and when I think of what the Big Eye can do and whatnot for us. To speak a little bit on the crop insurance piece of it, I did have the opportunity to sit in here a few days ago, which I think Joseph did as well, and meet our new RMA administrator, Marcia Bunger out of South Dakota. I believe she comes from a small farming town. I think her and her husband farm, I believe she said around 2,000 acres. What I found very refreshing, I come away feeling very settled in the fact that we have an RMA director that has got history and has experience in the area, specifically with crop insurance, as she's been an agent. She's been a crop insurance agent. She's been a crop insurance specialist. She's also served many years working for the FSA and specifically as a county executive director. So she had some objectives, and I think some of them have to flow along with what the Secretary of Ag is kind of pointing to. in terms of climate change, in terms of serving maybe sometimes the underserved in areas of this country that they don't have the luxury of having a good agent and having a good source. But she also, I think, from her words, she wants to be reasonable about the approach. She wants to make it stick, and she wants to make it something that's real, tangible, and that can work, not just a bunch of language, and then we don't go to address those issues. I was refreshed to hear that I think when asked, she addressed the fact that we need to have good communication between the FSA offices and the crop insurance agents that work in those areas. And I know from time to time, we've got good stories, and then we've got stories that are not as good that comes in as far as the communication. I think she's going to be a real strong advocate and to help maybe the FSA folks understand why we need that information. And she keyed especially on acreage reporting time and making sure that we had access to all the information, and maybe we could streamline and pick up some efficiencies there. So again, that was a real positive. Another item specifically on the crop insurance, I'm going to give another quick shout out and pat on the back to Joseph. I've had the honor to work with him the last few years, and I truly mean that. And why I say that is he is a very key member of our lobbyist team. So we lobby and we work on both sides of the hill. It's very refreshing to know that in the crop insurance space, normally, we have really great communication bipartisan across the aisle in the crop insurance space. We really do. And that doesn't come by accident necessarily. There is somewhat of a natural flow to that. I think over the years, it's always been kind of an item that they've kind of left off the table and not attacked. So it's been a really great space to be able to say we can all come together from both sides of the aisle. We're going to have differences, and we know that going in. But I think folks like Joseph, the rest of the staff and the team that we've got out there, make that happen and make it gel and make it really easy for agents when we're doing a grassroots effort and we know there's something that's very crucial to us that they can pull that off. A few months ago, we had an item regarding a data collection, and again, some of the things that the Secretary of Ag and the President was going to seek out in terms of some of the data collection. We're not going to talk about the data itself. It doesn't make a difference. It's a directive. It's an order that comes down again through the Secretary of Ag and so forth. What I want to speak to is, again, how we go through the communication channel. And again, being a member of the Big Eye and having access to the Big Eye and the lobbying team that we've got and the crop committee and the other folks we surround ourselves with, Lacey, and we've had some great folks over the years. Jeff's been very involved. Lacey does a great job representing you folks. And there's a lot of folks from your region and area that do a wonderful job. Eric Payne, we've had some really great people. The nice part is when this come up as an item and an issue in terms of how they're going to collect the data, possibly being through agents, when we drill down to the farmers, Joseph's contacts, and again, the trust, the communication component, and the kind of, we don't go in with an axe to grind all the time. We simply go in wanting to inform them. He set up a call with Chairman David Scott's office, and we were able to be on that call. Joseph and myself was on that call and kind of explained the background information and our concern over privacy issues, over conflict of interest issues that we have and would have as agents and independent business folks in maybe collecting or possibly having to collect some of that data. And I can absolutely guarantee you that that was heard and it was understood. We had questions back. We followed up a little bit. And to this date, that's worked very well. And again, those types of relationships don't just happen. They happen because we've got a process set up. And again, I'm just very proud to be part of the Big Eye and specifically the Crop Insurance Subcommittee to be able to work with some of those things. I can also say, and I'll kind of wrap up with this, going forward, we don't send out a lot of newsletters. You're not going to see constant communication that's going to come out from us because we're working on multiple topics all the time with the Hill. But I can assure you that crop insurance remains as one of our key items and key issues when it comes to Capitol Hill, has for the last several years. That's why this committee got converted from a task force several years ago on federal crop to a full-blown subcommittee, meaning that we're not just attacking one thing. A task force to attack one thing, the subcommittee is set up on more of a permanent basis to be here to discuss things not only today, but for several years to come. And crop insurance being kind of front and center as being one of those main items that the Big Eye continues to pour capital resources into, staff resources into, our political action funds, go to the right people on the Senate and the House Ag committees and other folks. As we go through elections, we go through cycles, we work with both sides of the aisle so that, again, we can keep this a bipartisan issue, we can keep it kind of controlled, and we can keep it relaxed and give them a source to know that they can come for a very clear, clean, reasonable understanding and expectation. So again, thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Lacey, and all of you that kind of put this on today and again, participated in the call today. And with that, my portion is complete. I'd love to stay on that way if there's a question or whatnot, but I'll turn it back to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. That's always good information from you, Greg. I really appreciate it to bring a different perspective that we always need to be reminded of and refreshed on that. Thank you. Joseph, we'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you for all the kind words, Greg. I think Greg could do my job. I feel like he did a pretty good job of that. So I will give a very, very brief overview of, I guess, some things that have happened in the past couple of weeks or month, and then kind of what I expect the next month. And then I'm happy to answer any questions. So as everyone knows, there's kind of two tracks in DC that we've been working on right now. There's been the bipartisan infrastructure bill and then the Build Back Better piece of legislation. So back in end of November, mid-November, Biden signed the bipartisan infrastructure bill into law, $1.2 trillion. It will take a while to really feel the impacts of that. Implementation of that will be important. Where's that money going to be, actually going to be spent? You have to get these projects up and running. So it could definitely be a few years before we really feel the impact of that. Couple top line numbers, like I said, $1.2 trillion, $110 billion for roads and bridges, $66 billion for railroads. And then important, for some of the Big Eye members out west, $55 billion for water infrastructure. So, again, it's going to take a while to feel the impacts from that, but we got a bipartisan bill done here in Washington, and I don't know if many people thought that was possible. So that is good news. And then as I mentioned, the second track here is the partisan piece of legislation and kind of the second half of Biden's plan, which is the Build Back Better bill. People are, some people are referring to that as human infrastructure. So a couple of top line things from this bill, which could be anywhere from $2 trillion to $1.75 trillion. Child care and universal preschool is going to be a huge part of that bill, paid family and medical leave. And then there should also be $150 billion for home care for people who are older and people with disabilities. So the current dynamics are the House passed a bill a couple weeks ago that was about $3.5 trillion, knowing that that was not going to move anywhere in the Senate. Now it is up to the Senate to basically kind of work on their own bill and pass that, and then we'll have to meet somewhere in the middle. The two key senators in this whole this whole process are Senator Manchin from West Virginia and Senator Sinema from Arizona. Important for Big Eye members is how are we going to pay for this bill, right? And there's been a lot of discussion of tax increases. Senator Sinema has been kind of the main negotiator on the tax stuff in terms of not wanting to do anything tax related. So the original plan from Democrats was to raise the corporate rate from 21% up to 28%. Senator Sinema said absolutely not to that. And so she has put forward a corporate minimum tax, which will be around 15%. I expect that to get into any final piece of legislation. But most importantly for Big Eye members, with two-thirds of them being pass-throughs, the 20% deduction on pass-through income that passed as part of the 2017 Republican tax bill, that is not going to be touched. That should remain in place, and we have Senator Sinema to thank for that. So that's kind of a very, very high-level overview. I would say in terms of timing here, Senator Schumer and some folks in the Senate would ideally like to have a Senate vote before Christmas. We obviously only have a couple weeks. I don't think that is likely. I think any action on this second half of Biden's priorities will be early, mid to late January. So that's what we are kind of expecting the next few months, and I'm happy to answer any questions as well. I'm also happy to answer any questions on the political side of things, whether that's any races or what we think for the November midterms. So thank you again for the time.
Has there been any talk about the next farm bill, or have negotiations or anything started on that yet?
So very, very initial conversations, but really, really nothing to, you know, report or really talk about. We expect that to ramp up probably in the spring of 2022. And one thing I didn't mention, which I think Greg did a good job of covering, is we obviously have a new RMA administrator, and she does have a lot of experience. Just like anything in DC, we don't like surprises. We don't like unknowns, and she is very much an unknown in terms of how she's going to approach this job. The Big Eye has very good relationships with the staff there, but at the end of the day, she is the principal, and we need to do a good job of understanding her priorities, how the Big Eye can help her, and then what we can do to help her as the Farm Bill process moves forward.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Pretty quiet group today.
It's a Wednesday. Wednesdays are tough. So I will add one more thing here, which a lot of people are talking about here in DC, is the November midterms. I think it's pretty well established at this point that Republicans will win the House back. How many seats they win, I think, is up in the air. It could be significant. It could be 50, 60, 70 seats. The Senate, some people are split on it. My personal opinion is that Democrats will keep the Senate, but there are some folks, including Senator Sinema, who I was with last night, thinks we will lose the Senate. So you will have a Republican-controlled Senate and House, Biden obviously still in the White House. And as we all know, that is a good recipe for gridlock. So November midterms are going to be interesting. I would almost, you know, essentially a lock that the House will flip back to Republican control.
But time will tell. And I would say to anybody on the call, if you have questions, please get a hold of me, and I can funnel them to Joseph or Greg. Appreciate your time, Joseph and Greg. Lacey, anything else you want to add here?
I don't think so. It's just always good to hear from what's going on outside of North Dakota. I really enjoy these calls, and I think it's just important to make sure that we bring this information back to our state so they can see how much the Big Eye really is working for everybody, for all agents. So it was very good. Thank you.
Of course. Thank y'all.
And one last shout out on InsurePAC. As Greg mentioned, year end, and members will get another reminder from Jared Blackwood, is our InsurePAC chair in North Dakota. So that's coming out again, but appreciate all those that have contributed to InsurePAC in North Dakota, and look for more opportunities for this year. So with that, we'll wrap it up. And thank you all for calling in, and have a good Wednesday.
Great.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see ya.
Thank y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Greg.